Chof Aleph Shvat, Tuesday the 14th of February. Shmiris Haguf Bahanefesh, Segulas or Superstition?
Morning everybody, wonderful to be back on Start Your Day the Torah Way. The topic that I'd like to speak about this morning is a very broad topic, of which we'll only be able to discuss a small amount of, but I still think it's a worthwhile endeavour. And that is the topic of Segulas. There are different types of Segulas. Really, for anything, you could make up a whole list of any different ailments, A to Z, Aleph to Tov, and find different segulas that a person could do, which will be a magic cure. And I'd like to discuss how appropriate many of these segulas are, to speak about it a little bit in general, and then to speak about four particular examples. The story is famously told of Rav Shimon Schwab. His great-granddaughter once came back from Eretz Yisrael, and she came to this great godel in America. And he saw that she had a red band on her hand, a piece of red string on her hand. So he asked her, "What's that?" So she said, "You know, apparently this was round seven times around Kever Rochel, and apparently it's a great segula against the Ayin Hara." And he looked at her, he said, "Do you think that's really what Hashem wants?" She said, "Do you think that I should take it off?" And he looked at her and he nodded. He said, "I don't think we need that." And he actually, with her permission, took it off. And now, what's going on over here? We've got different segulas for loads of different things. Why was he so upset about this segula? What's so negative about having a little red bracelet, a little red band? Why is that so bad? So he explained as follows: Klal Yisrael over the Doros, whenever they had a problem, they would turn to Hashem. And classically, the way that we turn to Hashem is by doing something real, like tefillah, by davening to Hashem. And what happens if Hashem doesn't answer our tefillahs? So then we daven harder. And when he still doesn't answer our tefillahs, then we keep on davening. And this is the way that Klal Yisrael always reacted to things. Vayeta Yitzchok, that Yitzchok davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his wife Rivka, and for 20 years they were davening without children. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their prayers. And Rashi says, "Hirbo v'hivtzi b'tfiloh." He just kept on davening and davening and davening. If somebody would have gone up to him after 5 years and said, "Look, all you need to do is go to Amukka. All you need to do is say this particular Kapitel Tehillim at this time of the day while standing on one leg, and then you'll be absolutely fine." So, really, it's making a big mockery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesaven letfilos shel tzadikim. Shel tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven, wants us to pour out our hearts. And quick fixes and gimmicks are not something which are really part of Yiddishkeit. It's all about trying to be real with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to go higher. And so, if there's something that we can do which can really help us, which is an expression of our emunah, then such a thing is appropriate. But if such a thing is really just a switch or just a button, you just press this, it's like a Coke machine, you just put the money in, and then the Yeshua will come out, then that isn't the type of Yiddishkeit which we are all accustomed to. So yes, Torah, Tefillah, Mitzvah, certain things are known as Segulas, but these are only when they're an expression of our emunah, and not, for example, a quick fix. And that was what Rav Shimon Schwab was saying over here. We find a similar example with the case of the copper snake in Parshas Chukas. In Masechta Rosh Hashanah, in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches, we're asked, the Chinocha Shel Moshe, Mei Mesumachaya, was it the snake of Moshe that would cause people to live or would cause people to die? If people looked at this Nochosh HaNochoshes, then they would live. And if they didn't look at it, then they would die. And you think that was it? You think you just had to look at the Nochosh and then it would all be okay? So the Mishnah says, Bizman Shi Yisrael Mishabdin, Mistaklin Klapei Mailo, Mishnabdim Es Libom, Lavim Sheva Shomayim Hoi Mistrapim. No, the Nochosh Nochoshes caused them to look upwards, to think of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who is Molei Chol Haaretz, and to realize that any of the things, even the dangerous things, the things that Hashem has sent into this world, and therefore we have to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by looking upwards, and by being mishabed their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then they were healed. But just to take it as, "Oh, this is a, you know, we just have to look at this," almost independently of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's like Avodah Zarah. And in fact, we find in Malachim Beis Perek Yud Ches, that Chizkiyah destroyed this Nochosh HaNechoshes, because there were people who were worshipping it, there were people who were offering korbanos to it. So they clearly got the message completely wrong over here. They were doing something which was not just an optional thing. They were doing a grace aveira over here, thinking that this had independent powers. As soon as a person thinks that a segula has any independent powers, and you just it's just like the Coke machine example, then this is not a segula at all. This could be something which is dangerously close to avodah zarah. We find an interesting halacha in Aruch Chaim Siman Aleph. Sif Hey in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Toiv leim apashas va'akeda upashas va'amon va'aseres hadibrus." That it's a very good thing to say, amongst other things, the parsha of the mon in the morning. And we know in Parshas Bishalach there's a segula to say Parshas Amon Shai Mikra ve'echad Tzad. And what's this all about? Saying Parshas Amon. So the Mishnah Berura says in Sif Katan Yud Gimel. V'yochol loymar Parshas Hamon afilu b'Shabbos, you're allowed to say it in Shabbos as well. Ve'ein day ba'amira, it's not good enough just to say it, like hocus pocus, abracadabra. It's just some magic. We just say these words. And a sheisbein in mashu aimer, a person has to think what it is that they're saying over here. V'yakir niflois Hashem, and remember the wonders of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. How a person would just wake up in the morning and there would be this mon on the floor. V'chein mashu omr b'gemara kol ha'omet hilal gimel pomim b'chol yoyim moved of shuvay. And so when it says anyone who says Ashrei three times a day, this is our ticket to Olam Haba. Is it that I can basically get up in the morning and be a complete gunuf the whole way through the day, speak to my wife in a terrible, terrible way, hit the kids a few times, and not learn anything? Don't worry, I've said Ashrei three times, I'm sorted, I'm going to be in first class, I'm muftachloi, I'm guaranteed. You guys, you learn a few hours a day, you do mitzvahs, you're really careful not to steal a penny, but I've said Ashrei, so I'm ahead of it. No, it's not like that. It has to be Shias Bainin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bayer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Manik, he is the one who is in charge of Parnosa, he is the one who is Mashkiach on the Olam, Pesach Es Yodech Maspiel Lechol Chayrod Sain. If a person really brings this inside their heart, that is the way that they come close to Olam Haba. And he says, V'tam Namiras calls out, Ki Parshas Akedah, K'dei Lizkair Zuchus Ovis B'chol Yom. Parshas Akedah, it's not just hocus pocus, and you say these words, it's to remember the incredible dedication that our Abbas had, and to say that every day, V'gam K'dei Lachnia Yitzroy, in order to subdue our heart, K'meshe Masar Yitzchok Nafshoy, in order to remember how Yitzchok was able to go against his nature, and Avram was able to go against his nature, so too that should inspire us to rise above the nourishment in life and to go against our nature in order to be able to serve Hashem. Uparshas Hamon k'dei sheyamin shekol mezonoso boyim b'hashgacha protis. The reason we say Parshas Hamon, it's not like a magical incantation we're supposed to say. It's to remember that our parnaso comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ugedechsev hamar v'lehedef hamamed lehichse lehiris she'en ribo yishtad l'smail me'uma. That just by working harder and working harder, that isn't necessarily going to help us. There are people who work incredibly hard and end up with nothing. And there are people who don't work very hard at all and somehow they end up with loads and loads of money. So yes, we have to make ishtadlus, but not to go so crazy because thinking that it's a direct result of the ishtadlus that will lead us to our paranosah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved, just like he brought them on. That they are guaranteed that their mezainis will not decrease. So we see over here it's the same thing. It's not something which is external to our Avodas Hashem. It's not something which is a standalone idea, but it's something which is supposed to bring us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now often you see that some Rebbe gave a certain segula that a person should do such a thing, and you can't really see how is this what is this in my Avodas Hashem? You know, to take an arova and to keep it from some tzaddik and to keep it in your pocket the whole way through the year and use that as a shmira, right? Or to put some matzah, some afikomen, there's a segula to keep some of the afikomen in the house. We have some afikomen up in our house. Someone came, 6 months after Pesach, they said, "I found it." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, it must be people didn't find the afikomen all the way in Sedna. I've seen them as afikomen over here on your shelf. This is like, I've got the afikomen, I don't need house insurance, I don't need contents insurance. What is it, just to have this afikomen, all of a sudden we're safe? So no, the idea is, it's supposed to, how does this bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's chavivas ha-mitzvahs, how excited we are about the mitzvah, how we want to hold on to the mitzvahs, how our life is a ruchniastik life, to have the arova of the tzaddik and keep that in our wallet, these sort of things, it's an expression of our emunah in tzaddikim. something which is an expression of our emunah in tzaddikim. It's not just, I believe in this arava. This arava is like a special arava. It's that this was something a tzaddik used in his avodas Hashem. Or even the mundane things in life, a person can elevate these things, a person can lift these things, and they are something which is, which helps me to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and focus on His Tzaddikim. So if it's something which is an expression of Emunah, either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or even in the Koyach of a Tzaddik, then that is also an appropriate thing. I'd like to look at a few examples which I have here on this photocopy. Just a few things that are known as Segulas, but there's a lot of misunderstanding concerning them. And it's from a sefer, a two-volume set called Shmiras HaGuf VaNefesh, written by someone called Rav Lerner in Yerushalayim. Any segula, if it's not in here, forget it. Then it's not. Then it's Narishkeit. This has mamish every single segula you could possibly imagine, and all of these things that are either in Chazal, Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, or other tzaddikim, and it shows their makoros. So and what's the point of them? So I'd like to first start looking on the excerpt on the where I've written page one at the bottom, at the top sif base. Nago anoshim shloi lishtois mikais havdolo. So there is a minhag that women shouldn't drink from the Havdalah Kos. Now you ask any girl, why are you not drinking from the Havdalah Kos? What are they going to say? They're going to look like me. Yeah, they're going to grow a beard. They're going to grow a moustache, they're going to grow a beard. Now Lamaisa, I haven't seen like loads of bearded women like down Hendon Golders Green. So it must be Tucker that women aren't drinking from the case of Havdalah. That's the only explanation. And therefore we don't see this very, very often. But what is the Indian over here that there is such a unhover? Where does this come from? What's this all about? So if you look at footnote Dalit over here, he brings the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Vav, Kosa B'Shem Mogan Avraham, the Nago Anoshim Shleili Shtreis Mikais Avdolah. So it's a Mogan Avraham, and V'Reibu Mogan Avraham Sham Sifkot and Dalit Shevi Inyan Zeh V'Shetam L'Dov Nimsa B'Shloh. So we're now going back to the Shloh Kodesh in Prague 500 years or so. V'Kosiv the Rogel Hamav the Lishtreis Kulei V'Ein Mashkim B'Nei Habayis, as opposed to the Kiddush cup, where there's a minhag that to give to the Kiddush cup to everybody. When it comes to the Havdalah cup, then the minhag is not to. And he brings at the bottom of this paragraph that this is also brought in the Eliyahu Rabbah and in Tosfos Shabbos and the Aruch HaShulchan. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav doesn't mention it, and also the Aruch HaShulchan says that not everybody cares about this. And again, at the end of this first paragraph in the footnote, he brings Verei Oid Beleket Yosha Dav Nun Zayin Shabal Trumas Hadeshen Shosa Avdolah V'Nosan Kais Leishtoy V'Gam Nosan Lishtoy Stavon of a Kaloisov. So the wife of the Trumas Hadeshen used to drink from the Havdalah Kos. Now, I haven't seen any photos of the wife of the Trumas Hadeshen, but, you know, the question certainly begs itself, yeah, did she have a beard or not? So, let's have a look over here at this bottom paragraph. The Tamla Minhag says, okay, so what's the reason? What's the reason for such a thing? Kosa B'Shlach Kodesh, we'll see a number of reasons. Mezech the Shabbos Zelushen Omraz al Besoyit. Ho'eit Shechotu by Adam HaRishon Gefen Hoysa. That when Adam HaRishon sinned, one man the Omer in the Gemara is that he sinned by having Geffen, by having wine. She squeezed these grapes, and then afterwards she gave it to him. And because her kavana was somehow to separate herself from Odom through this wine, so the Shlach Kodesh says that because wine was involved in the chait of Odom, that's the reason that they don't drink from the wine. And it's because it was somehow used to be mavdil. I'm not quite sure exactly how this was used to be mavdil from the Odom, if it was because she was going to drink it and not him, then I can understand, but she gave it to him afterwards. I don't quite understand exactly what was the Havdalah part that was going on over here, but nevertheless, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And that is reason number one, because wine was involved in the Havdalah of the Chait of the Eitz Hadas. Next one, B'Shut Har Tzvi, Kosa B'Shem Agoyin of Issazam Melt, says that's all. There's a big machlekes hapoiskim whether women are mechuyev in havdalah or not. Havdalah, really, it's a mitzvah sasei shazman gromo. It's a time-bound positive mitzvah. Now, we know that women are mechuyevos in kiddush, which is also time-bound, but that's because there is a hekish between the mitzvahs asei and the mitzvahs lois asei of Shabbos. So just like they keep the lois asei, they have to keep the aseis of Shabbos as well. Now, is havdalah part of the aseis of Shabbos, or is this now, this is motzei Shabbos, this is a new thing, is this included in the Hekish, or is it not? So there's machlekes, whether women are mechuyavis in Havdala or not. So based on that, when a woman says Omen to the bracha of the candle, and the bracha of the Havdala at the end, have a hefsek ben birchas hagefen, sheyoyt says me amavdil, So the Rabbi Issachar Meltzer brings the whole Mahalach, the Hartzvi argues with it, but the bottom line is, are they Mechuyovis in Havdalah or not? And if they are not, in fact, Mechuyovis in Havdalah, then all of these other brachas are considered a hefsek between the bracha of Brei Pri HaGofen and the actual drinking of the wine. So that's another reason why they are, the minhag is that they shouldn't drink the wine. And next one, Tam HaShlishi Kosav HaGoyin, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld Zatzal, Lebal Mechaba Sefer Mishnah. That women don't do malacha on Motzei Shabbos. So, and he brings Lechem and Hogakim at the Tis Pnei Sidra as she Yishalmu say the Hatzvila. How long this minhag applies? Is it just until the men come home from davening? Is it the whole Motzei Shabbos? Or b'chol zoi sevi amol and avrom b'shem avudrom sham minhag kain. L'maisa, the minhag is that women don't do malacha on Motzei Shabbos. Ah, they don't do malacha. Wow, it seems that Kedusha Sah Shabbos, they keep the Kedusha of Shabbos till longer than the men. V'im kein etzem lefim in horam nimshach oit Kedusha Sah Shabbos yoysim el gavi anoshim. They somehow have this stronger connection to Ruchnias, stronger connection to Shabbos. V'lokach lo'inogu lishtayis b'keis avdolo. And then he brings, the Rashi himself brings this, that with the oil of Sora and Rivka, the candle that they lit was lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, which means that Kedusha Shabbos extended the whole way through. They were able to bring the Kedusha of Shabbos that had permeated their household into the whole next week, and that's why they don't drink from the Kesav Dolor. Lirmoiz, to allude to Etzom Oig Nimshcho Kedusha Shabbos Kodesh, that the Kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh is still going. And then he brings. Very good, very good. Einochanami. According to that, so they shouldn't feel the same. It must be that they still do feel. That, look, they're still mechuyavos. We do say they're mechuyavin havdolah. So we paskin, they do say havdolah. It's just this is a remez that even though we're mechuyavin havdolah, they're mechuyavin havdolah, they're able to keep the kedusha a little bit further. Then a shomi yaseir also ebbs, and therefore they do need the besorim as well. But this is just as a remez, since they're not mechuyav to drink it anyway. Someone's been waiting to them in kiddush. This will be a remez that the kedusha stays by them. And then he brings another one at the bottom, three lines up from the bottom, from the big dayesha, that the lametes malachas correspond to 39 klolos niskalu. These klolos that came down to the world, havdala comes to lahatia hamalochas shabali dechava mashigor malo'elam. So it's basically not to mention her avera over the page over here. So it's not to mention her avera because again this is quite similar to the first one that we are looking at the chait of Adam and of Chava. He brings in the second paragraph on page 2 in the footnotes, because according to the Chacham Tzvi, it doesn't matter whether it's wine or whether it's Chamar Medina, whereas according to others, that really it's to do with the Chet of Adam Arishan, so really there's something specific to wine over here. So he does bring in the third paragraph in the footnote that there is in the Sefer Matamim that because of because she doesn't have a beard, she's osa to drink from the case of Havdalah. Have a look at the Avodas Yisrael. So basically, there is an Arizal that says that Shalashudas, that al pi kabbalah, since women do not have this dikno, peturim misudoso the dikno, there's a special sud that somehow shalashudas correlate somehow to those that have a beard. Women are potter from that, they're potter from shalashudas. It seems as though really it was a mistake that this got extended to drinking from the kais havdalah. Lahalacha we paskin that women are mechuyavos in shalashudas. I'm just bringing this arizal, which I completely don't understand, just to show there is something associated with women and beards and why they're not mechuyav in certain other things. But here, certainly, a person shouldn't worry about this whatsoever. And he brings at the top that certainly if she doesn't have anybody who could be mighty her in Havdalah, she should make Havdalah for herself, and she should drink the wine, and it's not a problem. All these things are, there's a hanhoga, there's a minhag, they don't drink the wine for any one of these reasons. But if halacha dictates that they're supposed to make Havdalah, then they have to make Havdalah, and they have to drink from the wine, or at least get a child to drink from the wine. So if a person would take this inyan, that somehow a person would erroneously use this to override the halacha, if they would end up not drinking from the wine, not actually making havdalah at all. So this is just one point over here concerning havdalah. Okay, over the page, on page 3, he speaks about folding the talis on Motzei Shabbos. So, page 3, is Aleph Yekapel Talis Miyad B'Motzei Shabbos. The person should fold their talis straightway on Motzei Shabbos. V'chein Noag Morna Chazanish. So, what is the reason for folding this talis on Motzei Shabbos? So, firstly, when it comes to actually folding a talis on Shabbos, are you allowed to fold a talis on Shabbos? So, the Paiskim come out, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person shouldn't. And this is really part of laundering, because in those days pressing garments and folding them was a part of the laundering procedure, and therefore this is something which Klal Yisrael generally avoided on Shabbos. But the Aruch HaShulchan and the Kaf HaChaim and Manam Zuchus, that those that do fold it, they do have on whom to rely on, because nowadays this is not part of our folding, of our cleansing process. Maybe it's because our materials are more refined, are less coarse than the materials that they had then. So yeshem al milismoich, there is on whom we have to rely on. But generally the anhaga is not to actually fold it on Shabbos. If you look at footnote Gimel at the bottom, V'nei kvar debarnu, the two lines from the bottom. V'nei kvar debarnu ala inyan lekapla mimotzei Shabbos. Heimetam lasik b'mitzvah miyad. Some say that this is because this is a mitzvah that we can do straight away. What are we doing? We're showing how we didn't fold it on Shabbos, and now we're preparing our talis shal mitzvah, and so we're being oisik in a mitzvah straight away. V'heimetam sakona, he brings from a ben ishchai that there is some. If a person doesn't fold their talis straight away, then there's some koiches of negativity, some sakono, if a person would leave it. That's what the Mekubolim say. We don't really understand, like many of these sugulas, we don't understand, like leaving eggs, onions, and garlic peeled overnight. There are certain things that we have a Masaira, that there are some keichas hora that attach themselves to these things if a person does. So we have these reasons for it. And he says at the bottom line, Noisif Lozem, Margul Bapuma de Inshi, that people say Shesh the Kapal Atalis Miyad Vamotse Shabbos Kadesh, do Segula le Sholom Bayis. People say it's a Segula to have Sholom Bayis. The Ger Rebbe, someone once came to the Ger Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Motse Shabbos, straight away I fold my talis, and still I have problems with Sholom Bayis. So he said, helping your wife with the washing up is also a Segula for Sholom Bayis. And that would be a very rechdig Segula for Sholom Bayis over here. Now, why is it that folding a talis is supposed to be a Segula for Sholom Bayis? So he continues in the middle of this footnote Gimel, Motsosi Batami Amin Hogim, Ois Tof Tof Kuf Mem Zayin, that it's a segula for arichas yomim for your wife to fold your talis, so your wife will be looking very carefully if that's what you do straight away on Motzei Shabbos. Why yan sho isha maybe a talis na chosan? Since the minag is that the wife and her family buy the talis for the chosan, so you have to show you're looking after it. That to show that I'm not expecting, I'm not waiting for another talis. That another woman is going to bring me. So this is the inyan of it. Since the talis comes from the wife's side, you're just taking care of it. You're showing that you care about it. And so this is why it's a segula for sholom bayis. If a person starts screaming at his wife, "Where's my talis? Where'd you put my talis? I need to fold my talis up. You good for nothing. You're always hiding all of my things." So then, certainly, obviously, this segula is not quite working the way that it should. Okay.
About the onion,
you just
said something about that.
Right. So, okay. When it comes to these things, there's some sort of a sakono. Now we don't know exactly what the sakono is, and there are various halachas in Yoredeya exactly how a person is supposed to do that. You keep a bit of a peel on, or if it's in a salad, then these things, some say you put some salt on it, then these things are okay. Otherwise, somehow there is a negative kayach associated by leaving these things peeled overnight. Just like if a person touches food before Natilas Yodayim, so then there's also a big discussion. A person has touched food before they've done Nagel Vasa in the morning. So Nagel Vasa is to wash off this remnant of tumah, which is on a person's hands, and so if they haven't done it, they haven't done negel vasa, and they're touching the food, so is this food also to be eaten? Is the food also to be eaten? So the Mishnah Berurah says you should wash the food three times. That's okay with an apple. If it's a bit of Weetabix, it's not going to really come out very, you know, probably won't taste much different actually, but it's not going to be so geschmack. If a person can't do that, so then the mashmos of the Mishnah Berurah is you are still able to eat it. The Aruch HaShulchan is makel completely and says that a person did touch it before negel vasa, they are able to eat it. There's also a big question why the kashrus organizations are not mechuyah, they're not mechayev Jews who work in their restaurants to do negel vasa in the morning. Because really the food should be also to eat before they've done negel vasa. They're chuvus about this, that they rely on the fact, because the health and safety, people wash their hands in the morning anyway when they come in, and probably when they got up they wash their hands, and so sort of they're seimuch on the fact that hopefully by the time they reach your food they have done some sort of a negel vasa. But all of these things, there are koichas hara that are associated with this food, if it's touched, this tumah being attached to it. Okay. There are all these different sugulas over here. Stepping over a child. Has anybody has heard such a thing, that not to step over children? If you step over a child, to step back. Anybody heard of such a thing?
Yeah.
Two volumes, hundreds and hundreds of pages. Yeah, this mamish goes. Yeah, till like close to page 900. He says he hasn't found a source for that one. Hasn't found a source for it. He says, should you stop doing it? He says, look, I don't want to have the shoulders to tell people you start stepping over children now. It's dangerous. Yeah? So he doesn't want to say, in that case, don't keep to it. But he says he hasn't had any makayrut for that whatsoever. Sitting on tables. Anybody heard you're not allowed to sit on a table? Right? Because a table is domer lemizbeach. So Chazal say a table is domer lemizbeach. But Chazal don't say you're not allowed to sit on them. They say by having guests around. So, you know, it's like domer lemizbeach. But Chazal say you're not allowed to, there's no problem with sitting on it. Rabbi Huda Chosid says that once someone sat, a child climbed onto a table where his sforim were on, and the child hurt themselves. So he said it's sakono if it's your learning table, but if it's your table from food, he does bring down. There's a very very late achron who says, and Rabbi Huda Chosid says not to sit on a table if there's food on it. But Rabbi Huda Chosid never actually said that. So this is also one which is a little bit tzoruch iyun. Just like to close with one point over here. The Meshech Chochmah says in Parshas Kisiso, why did Moshe break the luchos? He came down, the Bnei Yisrael needed to be punished, so he should punish them. Why is it they actually broke the luchos? Says the Meshech Chochmah, a Moedei Kavod, he said that when he saw the people were sinning with the Egel HaZohov, he realized, why are they sinning with the Egel HaZohov? You know why? Because they think that I'm not there anymore. If they think I'm not there, and they fall to pieces, then what they're really doing is they're worshipping me. They think that they can only come close to Hashem if I am the crutch that they can rely on. So they totally dependent on me. They're ascribing to me a divinity that is beyond what I really have. So therefore, he saw these luchos. Now imagine how heilig these luchos were. If a person looks after an arava from a tzaddik, yeah, and a person's all very, very nervous, or a dollar from a rebbe or something, imagine, achas kamo v'kamo, alfei alofim rivavos, how heilig the luchos are, unbelievable, if we see the luchos now, it's impossible to appreciate how heilig these luchos were. And yet he smashed them on the ground. Because he wanted to show them that even something like this, which is imbued with so much kedusha, this isn't the quick fix. This isn't the gimmick. This doesn't have its independent power. Any power that any of these things have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're making this big mistake and you're sinning now because you think that you can only serve Hashem through me, then you've got the wrong idea over here. I need to smash the luchos to show you that it's not the luchos which have this great kayach. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we need to come close to. So this is the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach everybody by breaking the luchos. And this is the lesson which we have to remember, that there are no quick fixes and there are no gimmicks in our Avodas Hashem. To the extent that we're able to be Meshabed Lebeinu Avinu Shabbat Shomayim, to the extent that we're able to express our Emunah, to the extent that we're able to do all of these mitzvahs, this is the extent we'll see Siyata Dishmaya, Hashkocha Protis, and Shefa Brocha Vatzlochin in our lives.